What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg. And first, apologies for the volume. I'm currently on vacation, visiting my roommate in Dubai. So it's currently 4 a.m. here, but I have to record something so that you guys understand my perspective and where I'm coming from. Because I mean, I'm genuinely at a loss for words. I don't really know how to proceed. I don't want to like just gloss over the fact that the Wizards just got unbelievably hosed in the NBA draft lottery, like legitimately as hosed as they could get, falling 4 spots to 6, which was the worst spot they could have fallen to. And we can dissect that in a bit. But it's the precedent that not only did the Dallas Mavericks, after making one of the worst trades in NBA history, get bailed out months later and get the number one pick in Cooper Flagg, but what's not even being talked about is the Spurs yet again getting lucky in the lottery, them getting Dylan Harper at number two. You have a team like Philadelphia who completely mismanaged their roster, had a terrible disaster season, and they somehow cracked the top three and will get Ace Bailey or VJ Edgecombe or some really good player. And then you get the Hornets, the Jazz, and the Wizards, the three teams that needed help the most. Small markets in Utah and Charlotte are very small. And I know the argument of, yeah, DC is a big market and the owner won't spend and they don't do enough outside to attract big name free agents. I understand all of that, right? But at the same time, you got to treat them like a small market team because tell me the last time that Washington attracted a big name free agent. I mean, we talking about like Paul Pierce whenever he signed here. You got like other guys outside like Jan Mahinmi or Nene. Like, other than that, nobody wants to come here. Nobody, not even KD. All the times he was a free agent coming back home, never even considered it, didn't give the Wizards a meeting because this is basically a small market team. And you have all of these teams that desperately need help. And yet you have three basically playoff teams that had disaster seasons and basically was their fault, apart from San Antonio, who was basically a playing team until Wemby got hurt. And they're in the top four alongside the Charlotte Hornets, and the Hornets get four, and the rest plays out. It's ridiculous. The NBA draft lottery is awful. It needs to be abolished. And I tweeted this out. It needs to be abolished because the Washington Wizards, year after year after year after year, get unbelievably hosed in the lottery. And I'm going to read this stat off, and I tweeted this out. And I'm sorry. If you don't want to hear this and you don't want to get even more mad, you can skip this part of the show. I fully get it, okay? Ben Golliver, who tweeted this out the last 2 years, tweeted out another dagger in Wizards fans' hearts yet again after Monday's draft lottery. And I'm just going to summarize it because instead of reading all of his tweets, I can just read my one that summarizes it better. In 2019, the Wizards were one lottery ball away from winning the number one pick, which would have been Zion Williamson. And I understand the injuries and all that, but he was the most hyped prospect since LeBron. And he still was an All-NBA, All-Star player, very good when he's healthy. Was the prized possession of that draft, the Wizards one ball away. 2023, Wembanyama, easily the most highly touted prospect since LeBron, and maybe even more highly touted than LeBron. The Washington Wizards own six of the final 11 lottery ball numbers. They already have three, and they own six of the final 11, so more than 50%. And they don't get it. The Spurs get it. The Wizards end up getting seven, trade up, get Bilal Coulibaly. And we understand how that goes. And then flash forward to this year, and I knew you could have queued up the Ben Golliver tweet because you knew exactly when the Wizards got six that they were so close to getting number one. And what would you have it? The Washington Wizards, yet again, were one lottery ball away from winning the number one pick, which would have been Cooper Flagg, who is one of the most highly touted prospects of the last 25 years, definitely of the century. And yet they are one lottery ball away. I believe Portland was also one lottery ball away. And the Mavericks, who need the least amount of help, had a 1% chance of getting the number one pick, somehow, some way, escape and get the first pick. Utter bullshit. And I apologize for cursing. It is ridiculous that this continues to happen. The NBA makes it so difficult for teams at the bottom of the league to find themselves back at the top. I number one, I don't know why they can't just do it based on draft or based on regular season record. The NFL does it. And you have a team like the Washington Commanders, who are the second worst team in the league. They get the second pick, they get a player that they need, and then they're in the NFC Championship game the next year. That's how it should go. But in the NBA, You can't do that for some reason. You need to prohibit tanking. Well, guess what? Tanking is at the most egregious and blatant level that it's ever been at. It is so bad that the Sixers, after having a bad, what, 20 games to start the season and having some injuries, said, you know what? F it. We're going to shut every single player down and we're just going to try to tank. And they did. And you rewarded them for it. And now the Wizards and the Jazz and the Hornets don't get rewarded for it, but the Sixers do. You have a team like the Dallas Mavericks that does not deserve to be even near. They don't deserve to be sniffing the top pick in the draft, let alone the top 7 or 8 picks in the draft. And they win it. The Spurs, who get bailed and bailed and bailed and bailed and bailed, continue to get bailed again, and they get the number 2 pick. And the Sixers, don't even get me started on how egregious their tanking was. Their injury report was a scroll. It was disgusting how much they were tanking. And you know what you do? Not only do they get to keep their top 6 protected pick, but they get number 3. It is a consistent cycle of teams like Utah and Charlotte and Washington and Chicago. None of these teams get lucky. I don't know why I included Chicago. The three teams I said first, they can't get a break. They all need the star. Utah, since 1985, I believe the stat was, hasn't moved up in the lottery. The Washington Wizards have gotten hosed every year. The Charlotte Hornets have gotten hosed pretty much every year. There's no way to the top other than getting lucky. You might as well just make it based on the reverse order, and that way teams are going to tank anyway, and they still get the top players. There's not a world that the NBA lottery should still exist as it currently stands. This order is a blatant joke, and this is the end of my rant because I'm going to get into what the Wizards' long-term plans are with this pick and understand that. But I can't even fathom how frustrating I am personally. And the Wizards brass. I mean, Will Dawkins got interviewed by Washington media after the draft. I mean, you could just tell the look on his face. And I don't want to put words in his mouth, but he seemed like he was fuming. I'm sure fuming about the Wizards pick, but fuming about who actually got the benefit of the doubt in the lottery and who got hosed. It's so frustrating to do everything right. Like Will Dawkins said, the Wizards have done everything in this rebuild the right way. They have built the right way. They are just a star away, and they cannot get over the hump of getting a little bit of lottery luck when the draft pick matters and getting that separating star player. They can't seem to do it, no matter how much they try. And for all the people that are now anti-rebuild, anti-tank, all in my comments saying, Greg, just give up. The rebuild was terrible. The rebuilding never works in the NBA. The Spurs literally rebuilt. Do you not understand that? The Thunder are literally the biggest success story of a rebuild. Smaller market teams, and yes, I'm considering yet again the Wizards a smaller market team because they cannot attract free agents to save their life. So, like it or not, they're a small market team in this scenario. Small market teams just don't get rewarded. It's so hard for them to do anything outside of tanking. The Wizards have done everything right with this tank. They have a really good bevy of young talent. They have the number 6 pick. They have multiple first round picks in this draft and in future drafts, a stockpile of second round picks. They have everything. They just don't have that lottery luck to get a star, and that is what they needed. Everyone knew that tanking was a risk until the risk doesn't pay off, and now you hate it. But everyone in 2023, when they traded Beal, when they traded Porzingis, and then when they traded Kuzma at the deadline to continue tanking, even when they traded Denny, I know that was a more skewed trade, but people liked the rebuild. And then when the rebuild doesn't pay out to number one picks, everyone's off the board. Stay the course. This is the only way out. I mean, if you would like to not be disappointed and just say, you know what, we're supposed to get the 8th pick because we suck and we're mediocre and we get the 8th pick, I'll take it. Then you know what? Be my fucking guest. And sorry for cursing again, but I'm just a little hot. The Wizards did everything they could. Do you not understand that? They just got very, 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 very unlucky. And that happens in the lottery. It's a terrible system. It's a flawed system, and it needs to be abolished. But the point still stands that the Wizards have drafted right. They have rebuilt right. They just cannot get a break. Cannot get a break. And maybe next year they will, but next year's a good draft class too. A lot of good prospects at the top. And you'll familiarize yourself with it because they have a top 8 protected pick. And I guarantee you that the Wizards are going to do everything that they can to hold on to that top 8 protected pick next year. But my point still stands. You cannot be in for a rebuild knowing that the lottery is a very risky game to play. And then when that risk doesn't pay off to number one picks, you jump off ship. You know what? If you're jumping off ship, nobody needs you to stay around here. Because I know right when there's a playoff game at Capital One Arena, those people are going to be the first ones in line saying that they stuck it out when you know that they haven't. Stay the course. Easily one of the most frustrating nights in Wizards franchise history. One of the most disappointing nights. I mean, it was the biggest night. I tweeted this out, I think, probably since the 2023 lottery, but at the same time, the Wizards really had a far shot of getting Wemby. It's different than this year when they had the top chance, 40% chance of getting him. I would say this was the biggest moment since the 2017 second round Eastern Conference Semis Game 7. And I feel the same gut-wrenching feeling that I feel after that game. It's pretty numb. And I guarantee when I wake up tomorrow, it's still going to feel that way. But you can't really believe that there was all this buildup, all this hype, and then just to go straight to such disappointment afterwards. Where do we go from here? Level of talk. It's so frustrating. It's so frustrating. I could harp about this forever, and I hope the audio is okay because, again, everyone here is sleeping. It's 4 a.m. in Dubai where I am, but I wanted to get a short pod out because I think everyone wants to know, Greg, what do you think? How do you proceed after this really, really tough day in Wizards history? I hope my words help because the only way to go here is forward. The Wizards are not dead. The rebuild is not over. It is a really frustrating result, obviously, but there are still avenues. There's still talent in this draft, and that is what I'm hoping to get at right now. Where I stand now is I think it'll go Kuberflag 1, Dylan Harper 2, any combination of Ace Bailey, VJ Edgecombe going 3 or 4, right? And that leaves you at 5 for Utah with an option. I mean, Utah is a plethora of guards, but they also need talent. And I think they're going to go best player available. So they're going to take someone, obviously, before the Wizards. But the five guys that I have circled here, in no particular order, by the way, Oklahoma's Jeremiah Fears, Texas's Trey Johnson, Derek Queen, big from Maryland, Kaman Malawak, and Con Knipl, from Duke. Those are five guys that I think could go there realistically. Now, if you're asking me right now, let's just say hypothetically that I have my pick of any of these guys. I'm taking Fears. I think Fears is a really good combo guard. He can play more so of a two guard, I think, but he could also, I guess, play on ball. But his scoring ability, his ability to get to the rim, to shoot threes, to score from all three levels, I really like his game. But again, I think he's going to go five. Trey Johnson and Derek Queen are kind of similar for me. You got the appeal with Derek Queen. He's a Baltimore kid, grew up, Bob Carrington said after the lottery, I believe, three houses down from him. They played not on the same team, but together and against each other throughout their childhoods. That is a guy that makes sense here. I mean, the Wizards are going best player available. I understand they have a lot of guards, but I'm still going to take best player available. They need whatever talent they can get. Derek Queen makes sense. I mean, he's a guy that could hypothetically play alongside Sar. He's not a stretch big, but he is a guy that can bruise down low, and I think that would be actually a good complementary player to Alex Sar in the paint for the Wizards. Trey Johnson, a lethal scorer, a bit inconsistent at times, but that's going to be expected when he is such a burden on him to score the ball at Texas. He reminds me of Bradley Beal. Take it however you want. I know people don't like Brad, but he's a very, very, very gifted scorer and turned out to be a terrific first-round pick for the Wizards. Malawak, I mean, his measurements, if you look at his measurements at the combine, off the charts. I mean, his wingspan is massive. Good rim protector basically is your I'm going to set screens, roll to the rim, protect the rim type center. And I think, again, you have Sar, but you take best player available. I'm fine. I mean, look at the two center approach across the league. The two number one seeds, the Thunder and the Cavs, went with the two center approach, and it's clearly worked, especially when both centers are good at defense. That's what you kind of want in this system. And so I'm fine with taking another center. I know a lot of people would be scared, but I'm fine with taking Malawak. When it comes to Knipl, terrific shooter, arguably one of, if not the best in the draft, very good mechanics. The Wizards need more, you know what I mean? They need something bigger and better than just a guy that can shoot the ball and cut. They have Corey Kispert. And I'm not saying that Con Knipl is going to be Corey Kispert. I think he can be better. But what I'm saying is he could be a specialist. I think it's very likely that he's a specialist in the league. And the Wizards need a star. And I'm not saying to go star hunting here. I'm saying take best player available. But if it's me, Con does not move the needle And I, again, don't think he's the best player available at that spot. I think there's going to be at least four players over him at that I right there. And I have other guys over him. I have Thomas Sorber over him. I have Rashear Fleming over him. You know, I have a bunch of guys over Knipl, but the other four are kind of consensus in that order. So Fears ideally is great. Johnson, Queen, Malawak, I'm fine with any of those. And you'll see more as pre-draft workouts come in, as the combine proceeds this next couple of days. But those are some of the options, at least there. I got a lot of comments about trading back, or trading up, trading the pick, whatever you want to call it. I don't see it. You know what I mean? Like the Spurs aren't going to trade their pick. Obviously the Mavs won't trade their pick. The Sixers, again, like they could take Ace Bailey or Edgecombe. I understand that, but like they're also monetarily not in the best spot. So yes, they're win now, and maybe you can make a move with 6 and 18, and maybe like a really good player. But who are you trading, Philly? The Wizards only have like Jordan Poole and maybe Corey Kispert. I mean, who does Philly really want to move the needle there? It doesn't make sense to me. They're not going to move up one spot with Utah. I think Utah is going to go best player available. You have Charlotte there at four. They need a really good player. I don't see a pathway at any point to trading up. Trading back, I get. But again, the Wizards need young talent. They need players. And I don't foresee a move where they're like, you know what? I'll trade the sixth pick so that I can get somebody's one next year and then another one. And maybe it's like, okay, let's put our chips in the basket next year because we got hosed this year. I get the merit there. I get the background, but I don't see that happening. I think the Wizards like where they're at with their three picks. Definitely don't like where they're at in the top six, but they still have a chance to get a really good player, and I think they're going to take that chance. So trading back up, whatever, I don't see it. And now remember, they have three picks in this draft. They have number six. They have number 18 from the job from the Memphis Grizzlies trade with Marcus Smart, and they have the number 40 pick from the Phoenix Suns. It's the first of, I believe, six first or second round picks to convey from the Bradley Beal trade. So, you know, Washington has three picks. And like I've been saying the entire time, I don't think they'll make the second round pick. Will Dawkins has traded a second twice to move up only one spot and then two spots last year to get the guy he wanted. Got Bilal Coulibaly 2 years ago, traded up to get Keyshawn George this past draft. I could very well see that happening where he's at 18. He's like, you know what? I want to snag someone at 17 or 16. We have a lot of young players already. I'm going to package that pick, move up, and take someone I want. Can fully see them only making two selections in this draft. But it's the flexibility to be able to do that is great. For the people saying, oh, Greg, well, the Wizards had three second round picks. I thought they had three. They did. But it was always the most favorable of those picks based on the trades they made. In the Kyle Kuzma trade, they sent one of those second round picks to Milwaukee, and then in the Smart trade they sent one of the second round picks to Memphis. So that meant that the Wizards were just going to get the best of the three, and Phoenix obviously finished the worst out of those three. The other two are playoff teams. Phoenix slots in at 40. Washington therefore gets the Phoenix pick at 40. I think they'll trade it, but just so you know, they have six, they have 18, and they have 40 come June. I think it's June 25th and 26th come the draft at that point. Other than that, I mean, look, it's deeply frustrating. Like I fully understand where Wizards fans are coming from. I'm very frustrated. Well, Dawkins seemed visibly frustrated. It is the worst possible scenario. It sucks. It inherently sucks. And by no way am I telling anybody that they need to just disregard it and move on. And okay, that sucks, but who do we take at six? And we're still in a good position and all that. That's not the case. But what I'm saying is you can't just sit here and feel sorry for yourself. Like, the lottery is luck. It is a lottery. That is what it is. It's hard to win. It's hard to do well in. The Wizards just can't get a break, and that really sucks. Believe me, as somebody who hasn't missed a game in 10 years, as somebody who has watched the last, what, three times 82, I guess technically two times 82 of this rebuild, but the last 164 games of this team, for them to go, what, 34 and like 132 or 131, whatever it is, they're 33 and 131 across the last couple of seasons. Like to do that, to win 18 games, to lose 64, and to just get the worst possible pick at six when a team like Dallas completely throws their franchise player away and just gets rewarded with a new one that's younger. And I don't know, maybe he's going to be better. San Antonio, who's consistently getting bailed out in the lottery, the Sixers, who got so bailed out in this lottery, all that considered, and the Wizards do all the right things. whatever they think that they need to do via this rebuild, and they don't get rewarded. It sucks. I mean, to make matters worse, and I apologize for continuing to pound the rock here on how bad this was for the Wizards, the Denny Avdia trade, let's revisit it, because realistically, the Wizards would have been around the 6-7-8 range if they kept Denny. A couple more wins here and there, maybe 5-7, maybe even more, but at the same time, they would be in the middle to late lottery. And you trade Denny because obviously you want Bob and you want another first round pick, but you also wanted to bottom out and gave yourself a chance of Flagg or Harper or Bailey. And it didn't work out. But they gave themselves a chance. I will say that they gave themselves the best chance possible and it didn't work. So that makes the Denny trade a little tougher to swallow, especially with the season he had. And again, I'm not saying that I disagree with these moves. I've said from the start, the Denny trade made sense. The Wizards rebuilding and tanking and losing all these games to give themselves a chance makes sense. It is just inherently frustrating when the NBA continues to reward big market teams that continuously overspend and overtrade and mess up, and they just get bailed out in the lottery when teams like Charlotte and Utah and Washington are trying to rebuild the right way, trying to do things the right way. And they just get crushed. It's just crushed after year after year after year in the lottery. And you keep coming back and think it's going to be different. This year's going to be different. I fell into that trap. Last year, I thought they would get six. They got two. And I'm like, okay, this year's going to be different. They might get one. They might get two. And deep down inside, I think I knew, and I think every Wizards fan knew, they weren't going to. You knew that 50% chance to get five or six was real. And you knew it was probably going to be the most likely thing to convey. And what do you know it is? I can continue the entire time. And apologies, I wanted to do a Twitter Spaces again. It is 4:31 a.m. here in Dubai. Everyone here is sleeping. I don't want to wake anybody up with all those screaming Wizards fans. I promise soon I will do a space when people are, I guess, more calm and more relaxed. And again, I hope the audio is okay here. I kind of have to be at a whisper. I hope you guys can understand that. But easily to wrap it up, one of the most frustrating, if not the most frustrating days of the last decade plus, with this team, at least 2017 Boston, like you hope the Wizards would win, but you didn't really expect much out of it. This one hurts. This one hurts because it's not like the Wemby year. Well, yeah, they're one lottery ball off, but they were supposed to get the eighth or ninth pick that year. It's not like the Zion year where they're supposed to get the ninth pick and they ended up getting the ninth pick, but they were one lottery ball off. They weren't close. This year hurts because the Wizards were close. They were in the top three. They did do everything that they possibly could to give themselves a chance. And yet here they are again, sitting in the middle of the lottery, despite all of the losses, despite all of the pain, despite enduring everything that they could throughout this rebuild. They are still without a star. They are still in the middle of the rebuild, and they are still nowhere close to ascending and becoming a contender. It's tough. And being a Wizards fan is tough. Being a Washington sports fan is tough. I think the Caps are losing right now, could go down 3-1 to Carolina after being the one seed, another playoff disappointment. I mean, the Nats, I mean, they don't spend money. They don't go anywhere. It's the most frustrating team to root for, apart maybe from the Wizards. I mean, at least Washington fans have the Commanders, because if they didn't, this would be a really tough stretch. So, it's tough. And moving forward, like the Wizards roster is just really a bunch of, 18 to 22-year-old guys that, half of them are still trying to find their way. Half of them are developing and then are the guys the Wizards drafted. And you got some outgoing veterans like Brogdon and Gill and all that. But at the end of the day, this was a catastrophe. I tweeted out before the draft lottery, kind of a tier list, like, if they were to get one, obviously jubilation, they get a franchise-altering star. If they were to get number two or number three, even anything top four, I will be content with it because I know the lottery luck is terrible. But if they are on the right side of that 50%, I will take it. And then I said, if they get what I think they're going to get, five or six, it is very, very bad. It is an utter catastrophe. And one thing I'll end with, I hate the people victory lapping here. It's Wizards fans too, but like taking victory laps because the team got unlucky. Everyone knew 50% five or six, 50% a top pick, like top four pick. It's pick your poison. You're gonna get lucky or you're gonna get unlucky. They got unlucky. They got lucky last year by staying at two. It's just unfortunate again they get unlucky because that draft class was one of the worst in years. And so it's continuously this just like cursed franchise. And I tweeted that out. The Wizards may be cursed. And the top comments were, "May, come on, Greg, they are cursed." And I can't argue with that because it's just a franchise that can't get out of its own way. It's a franchise that, even when it does get out of its own way and begins to do things the right way and build a good culture, good habits, and rebuild the right way, the NBA steps in front of its way and kicks it in the head. I don't know. The NBA just can't fathom seeing the Washington Wizards succeed in any way, shape, or form. The only way they got the John and Brad years is because they got the number one pick, they got the number three pick, and then they got the number three pick again. And that was the old lottery system. It is just, it's, I could go on and on, and you probably hear the frustration in my voice. Like I wish I could just give the Wizards fan base like a collective hug right now. I for sure could use one. Nobody here is up, I don't think, anywhere. But it's sad. It's frustrating. It's all of these emotions that you feel when you continuously pour it all into a team, hoping that everything could be fine and they can resurrect from the bottom of the barrel and get out of the mediocrity pit and just contend. That's all Wizards fans are asking for. It's just one small, tiny break, and they can't get it. They just can't. It is so frustrating. Like I said, you could try to be optimistic, and you know I'm always optimistic. Moving forward, Derek Queen, I mean, I'll read off the quote from Bob Carrington post-lottery, talking about Queen, who he grew up a couple houses down from. He said, "My Baltimore buddy, I think you should come home." He said that to Chase Hughes and reporters there at the lottery. I mean, it's pretty obvious. Obviously, that's biased. I mean, they're friends, and they're not going to make a pick based on Bob Carrington. But at the end of the day, the Wizards are going to get a good player. They're going to get a good player realistically. It won't be a star player in the eyes of the draft experts. But again, you don't know. And I will say this. This is honestly, I'll end on this because this is probably the saddest part or anecdote of the day. I had a bunch of tweets ready, right? Because I wanted to make sure that once the pick was read off, that I could go in and just tweet. I had one for number one and number for number six. And obviously, the more exciting the pick, the better the tweet. My thing was going to be Flag colon captured. If they got Cooper Flag, it would have been a sick headline and a sick tweet. I don't even want to talk about it. I'm so frustrated that I couldn't send that tweet out. I might not even remove from my drafts because I thought it was so cool. But I will say that I had my tweets ready. And when I saw that they got six, I froze, and I got the tweet out, but then I was like, you know what, I actually I can't tweet out like, okay, this is who the Wizards are going to take. I needed to give the fan base a little bit of time to breathe. I needed them to understand that I was about to go from flag captured for the number one pick, and I had great ones for Dylan Harper, don't get me wrong, to tweeting out this franchise is cursed. Like that is the drop off, and that is how quickly things can change in the lottery from all of this excitement to, okay, that was literally the worst thing that could have possibly happened. Just brutal, you know what I mean? Just like brutal. And yeah, I understand the people that are frustrated, like where do you go from here and all that? But the only way is forward. I mean, this team is continuously rebuilding. It is really unfortunate that this has to happen. But there's going to be good talent there. And I'm going to have draft episodes, and I'm going to dive more into the prospects. I've been doing my research. I watch a lot of college basketball, love college basketball. So I'll have some episodes obviously on that, and I'll have some draft experts come on and discuss it in more detail because they probably know better than me. But at the end of the day, the Wizards get hosed again. They get hosed again. It's the most frustrating franchise to root for. In all of the four major sports, and I honestly challenge somebody to challenge my claim because I could offer up literally like 10 things from this night alone, and I think I would win the argument there. And I don't even have to go back into the fact that they haven't made a conference final since 1978. 1978. It is frustrating, and it continues to happen, and they can't catch a break. They can't get out of their own way. It's all these things. You got to hope at some point they do. Because that's all you can do as a fan is be optimistic, is continue to move forward and continue to support the team. So look, again, frustrated, fully understand. I'm not going to tell people not to be frustrated. Obviously, I'm frustrated. The Wizards are frustrated. But that does not mean that they are not going to find success. I mean, Will Dawkins has drafted phenomenally. He had three picks from this past draft that were all terrific, all rookie team contenders. I think Sarr will make first team. I think Bubba will make second team. I don't think George will make it, but he's an honorable mention. You have Bilal Coulibaly, who has shown really good flashes on both ends of the floor. You have three picks in this draft, two first round picks in next year's draft, a boatload of second round picks from the Beal trade, all of these pick swaps for when Phoenix inevitably tanks. So again, I feel like that's kind of my role here is when Wizards fans are on the mat and they don't think that they can get up, maybe I can drop a little bit of optimism and be like, okay, at least get off the floor, dust yourself off, try to at least move forward. Yeah, I understand you're devastated, you're frustrated. This was the worst possible outcome. But you can't always win. You can't always get lucky. That's the lottery. It's all about luck. And the Wizards are just the literal unluckiest team. And I will say it's kind of funny that the Wizards, and I had this article February 21st, that they are raising season ticket prices. I mean, one guy told me 56%. Some guy said nearly 100%, a double in his season ticket price for next season. And I'm sure it's because the Wizards were like, let's do this now. And then when we get Cooper Flagg, we can make it even bigger. Or when we get Dylan Harper, we can make it even bigger. And now they're going to get, not the biggest name, anywhere near the biggest name in the draft. So how do they process that? How do they tell fans that, yeah, we continuously get hosed in the lottery and we're really nowhere close to winning, but hey, your seat that was $1,000 a game, guess what? It's 2,100, and you really don't get much other benefit of it. And if you want anything else, if you want to know where you can move your seat, we're not going to help you. It's all these things. I'm not going to go down that path. But again, I'm going to end this episode here. I've been rambling and ranting for the last couple of minutes, but just such a frustrating night for the Wizards, such a frustrating night for the fan base, for the franchise. The literal worst possible outcome came true. The nightmare came true. They got six. It doesn't even feel real. It feels like a dream, a nightmare, whatever you want to call it. But again, you got to proceed. So I'm full faith in Dawkins and Winger to continue to lead this rebuild forward. Next year is a new year. I mean, we're going to be right back in here. They have a top eight protected pick from New York. They will not let that convey. It'll convey in 26 and 27 to second round pick in each year. The Wizards are going to try to be bad next year. They want that top eight protected pick, and they're going to give themselves another shot. It's another really bad year in store, and that sucks. And maybe Cooper Flagg or Harper would have accelerated the rebuild. But this team's going to suck again. And so be in store for that. Again, a really tough time to watch DC sports, or especially the basketball team in DC. But hopefully the Wizards come out on the other side. I mean, this is all they got. They tried for years to build a contender without being able to attract the big name free agents like Kevin Durant, obviously LeBron James, your big named guys. They're never going to come to DC. But you got to do it through the draft. You got to do it through trades. You got to do it by being smart. And they decided, you know what? The Bradley Beal era is not going to work. We tried our hardest to not tank for years and years. Ted Leonsis' motto, we will never, ever tank. And then he said, you know what? I'm sick and tired of being the number nine pick. I hate it here, and I want to do something about it. Bradley Beal's not doing anything. Let's trade him. Let's trade Porzingis. Let's trade everyone. Let's rebuild. And so at least they're trying to do it the right way, because they saw the other way was just a unsustainable, middle-of-the-pack mediocrity loop. And they've tried at least to figure it out. It has just been really unlucky. It's been really tough, but hopefully better days are ahead. So that's the end of my long-winded rant. Again, I hope that the audio was okay. It's nearly 5 a.m. here. I'm gonna try to get some sleep if I even can. Really tough day for DC sports. Really tough day for Washington. Tough day for the Wizards fan base, franchise, whatever you want to call it. But again, hopefully better days are ahead. See what they do at number six, and I'll trust in Will Dawkins to move this thing along and move it forward. Thank you guys for listening again. I know you're frustrated. I'll be tweeting out the next couple of days. Hopefully, I'll have a space going in a week or so when I get home, because Wizards fans deserve a platform to talk about this. They deserve a platform to rant, and I hope I can provide that. So again, really frustrating day for the Wizards, but that's gonna do it for this episode. Thanks for listening, guys. Go Wiz.